2019, the year of unleashed power, potential, provision, and harvest. 2019, the year of unleashed power, potential, provision, and harvest. We talked about unleashed power. Right now, we're talking about unleashed potential. One of the words, that definitions or phrase that God gave me for potential is a God-given vision, dream, idea of future possibilities beyond something or someone's current state that is better, more promising, more fulfilling than the current reality. Then there's the hidden potential, or hidden potentials. It has to do with power, strength, energy, knowledge, ability, and resources that are lying dormant, that have not been realized, recognized, acknowledged, activated, or drawn upon. Last week when we were together, as we ended out our time, I shared with you a story. And I shared a story about a gentleman who had done a teaching. And when he finished the teaching, they were leaving there, walking back to their various cabins. And he was talking to one of his mentors or instructors. And the question he asked him, he asked him, what did you think about it? Or how did you think I did? And the instructor said to him, I expected more. And you remember that we closed out with that teaching or that particular story. And I talked about how that out of the book, Potential Principles, the gentleman talked about how that disrupted the thinking and the mindset of the guy who had taught. But the disruption wasn't a negative thing, at least for the guy who heard it and received it. And as I begin to think about that and begin to think about this teaching of unleashed potential, I couldn't get away from the intentional disruptions that come because God has purposed to do something different or more in our lives. And so for the next 15 minutes or so, I want to talk about divine disruptions for unleashed potential. Divine disruptions for unleashed potential. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Everything that God does has some element of disruption in it. Think about that. Everything God does has some element of disruption in it. Now, when we think about that word disruption, you can think of it this way: an act of delaying or interrupting the continuity, disorderly outbursts, event that results in a displacement or discontinuity. Now, so think about it. Now, when God comes to Abram, he disrupts his world by saying, leave your family and I will show you a place. Say disruption. Come on, say divine disruption. And I believe right now, if we are going to walk in this place of the unleashed power and the unleashed potential, we've got to be okay with some of the disruptions. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit disruptions, or things that happen that move us into a place that we would not go on our own. Do you remember that one of the things that I shared is that as a matter of fact, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I need to get this out, and I need to get these thoughts out here in the next few moments. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives who is and can be a divine disruptor. The Word of God says, Jesus said this, he, the helper, that's what he talks about him as, the helper will come and lead you into all truth. Now, I want you to recognize that that truth is just not like truth between the truth and a lie, but it's the truth about you. It's the truth about me. It's about the truth about who we were created to be. And sometimes he will push us into places of discomfort because of the potential that he knows is there. As a matter of fact, I talked about in most folks' lives, or many folks' lives, they have a coach or a tutor or a helper or a mentor. Some have a personal trainer. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is our personal trainer. I made this statement: fulfilled potential will require some cooperation. As a matter of fact, fulfilled potential will require your cooperation. It will require my cooperation. However, it can often entail some level of discomfort. Say discomfort. Come on, say it with some joy. Discomfort. Hallelujah. Discomfort. It's like an oxymoron. Say that with some joy, you know. Yeah, yeah. Discomfort, inconvenience, pain. I think I added that. Perseverance, persistence, patience, and sacrifice. As I was thinking about this particular phrase, I thought about this scene in this movie. What's the name of the movie, Deb? No, the other one. Facing the Giants. I want you to look at this clip. Before they play the clip, though, here's what I need you to focus on. This thought that you have someone on the inside of you who knows you, knows your potential, and if you allow him, he will take you further than you could ever imagine if you're willing to cooperate and follow his voice. Sometimes you need somebody to get in your face and stay in your face and keep telling you, you can do this, you can make it, you can get on the other side of this, you can't stop now, you can't stop now, you can't stop now. Come on, I'm talking to us this morning. Hey! Don't quit! 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 Don't quit, men! Don't quit! He's not counting you out! Don't quit! He's not counting you out! The scriptures make it clear that this is a press. But Paul said, though troubled on every side, not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but never destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested. He was saying, I recognize that there's something God wants to get out of me that I may not want to give him on my own. But if I stay in this situation, what I love about it, see, the challenge was to go 20 yards. God has a way of just putting just enough out there to get you moving. And the reason why is because, well, let me just read a couple of points here to you. I got 9 minutes here. Some of the things that begin to resonate in my thought processes around this is listen to this. Greater potential is not always revealed, required, or drawn upon in favorable times. You see, we like to rest, and it's okay to rest. While favorable times can come as a result of exercised potential and be fruit of one's labor and even be a season of harvest, consistent favorable times can produce an atmosphere and an attitude that this is good. This is good enough. It can lead to complacency and lethargy. One can become lackadaisical, lazy. There's no longer a push for the next level, the greater level, the greater glory that God wants to get out of our lives. Jesus, when he showed up and he began his 3.5 years of ministry, he began to disrupt the lives of those who he came in contact with. When he saw the fishermen, leave the nets and come with me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. There was a connection between what they did and what they were going to do, but there was a disruption. And every now and then, God has a way of causing a divine disruption in order to bring about a greater unleashed potential, a hidden potential. And he has a way of helping us to recognize that while you may not completely understand it, there is something on the inside of you that speaks to more. Anybody have that kind of resonating going on right now? There's more. 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 Sometimes we don't know how to get to the more. And so he will allow a divine disruption, interruption to happen that moves us into the place of breaking the continuity, breaking the pattern that keeps us in the same place. The writer in the book, Potential Principle, was saying how that there is this need to disrupt yourself before someone or something else does. And so in the writing, he talks about four points he gives that are reasons why you want to disrupt yourself. Let me give them to you real quick. Number one, disrupting yourself opens the path to growth. Not all change is growth, but all growth is change. Unwillingness to confront assumptions, challenge your thinking, and try new things is a roadblock to improvement. An object in motion is easier to move than an object at rest. Complacency is rest. Disruption is motion. There's nothing wrong with resting as long as you don't rest too long. You know the scripture that talks about the sluggard and the one who slumbers and poverty shows up on him. It's kind of like, man, I hate to use this analogy because it's kind of like your yard. When you let certain things go, and all of a sudden you look out one day and you realize, man, there's a whole lot to get done here. Now I know that's not your yard, so just not your place. Number two, disrupting yourself preempts the competition. Rather than responding, you are creating. Rather than responding, you are creating. Instead of playing up, you are playing stay ahead. You don't win by playing not to lose. I'm talking about disrupting yourself, where you say, this is not going to be good enough any longer. The third thing he says is disrupting yourself develops mental muscle. Abandon the image of the path to progress as a lovely, level, winding walk in a beautiful countryside. The path to progress is rocky, steep, and challenging. It is a path of resistance, and resistance, like disruption, develops strength. Lastly, he says this, disrupting yourself creates unforeseen opportunities. You'll enter territory you've never visited. And if you keep your eyes open, you'll see opportunities either invisible to or unspotted by others. We're talking about the divine disruption, your personal disruption. You got to be brave. Say you got to be brave. Come on, say I got to be brave. Self-disruption will require you to be brave. It is not for the faint of heart. Being creatures of habit, many of us are deficient in the flexibility department. We like to stick to the plan, do things the way we've always done them, and put as many things on autopilot as possible. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. If we lived out of that place, we wouldn't be in this building. Our financials will show you that for last year when we get together. God did this. He disrupted thinking. He shifted patterns. And he worked this thing to bring in a body of believers who can believe him to transform a city. I need about five of y'all to clap and act like you're part of this church. We lull ourselves into a routine that closes us off to the flexibility required for self-disruption. Self-disruption can be risky. It is about abandoning certainty. See, we like to make certain things certain. Even when you stop doing what didn't work, there are no guarantees for what will work. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. You see, sometimes the worst conditions will place a demand for greater potential to be drawn on and manifested, unleashed. Moses chose to take on reproach than to stay in Pharaoh's court. What moved him to a place of self-disruption was what he saw happening with the people. And when he couldn't take it any longer, he took matters into his own hands. You know its story. He killed an Egyptian soldier and then fled. But 40 years later, he showed back up, a different man. It was divine disruption that moved him into that place. I want to tell you this, beware of people who tell you that's good enough, especially when you know there's more. You're wanting to do more. Something or someone on the inside of you is telling you there's more. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit on the inside of you telling you there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You used to attend a certain church, a certain denomination, a certain belief, but something on the inside of you kept saying there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more to me, there's more, there's more. And somehow you got the courage to initiate your own self-disruption. Or there was a divine disruption that moved you out of that place and moved you on into the more. And aren't you glad about it today? I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I would not be here had I not had the stirring for more and then the courage to disrupt my own world, to disrupt my own situation over and over and over and over and over again. Not because I don't like order, I love order, but it's because I'm in pursuit of a God who just somehow is able to work in the midst of a choreographed chaos. It looks crazy to everybody else, but there's something. There's something about being in the center of his wheel that settles everything. That settles everything. When everything around you is shaking, unchangeable, unstoppable, unshakable. That's who you are. That's who Ashe mon protocota sete. Namboshe dalabo kudrabo sadaba. He wants us to do the more. These works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He wants us to do the more. And if you're feeling a little agitated right now in your space, maybe it's that holy disruption, that divine disruption that's happening. Not everybody is really able to really push themselves. Most of it's like the land in a place. But when you know inside of you, you can do more, you need to be working to do that more. Years ago, I was in the studio working on a project, and I brought a saxophone player in. I brought this saxophone player in. He was really, really, really good player. And I brought him in. I said, hey, I want you to play on this song. And so I said, I'm just going to play it and let you hear it, and then I just want you to do some ad-lib stuff through the song for me. So we laid down a track. When he got done, I said, man, that was incredible. He said, oh, I can do better than that. I said, can you? Okay. We did a second track. We did another track. I said, man, that was incredible. Oh, I can do better than that. He did five, six different tracks. And every one of them was different, and every one was better than the last one that he did. That's someone who's saying, I got more. I got more. I got more. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God doing in your life? What is he allowing in your life to bring about a divine disruption?